Welcome to CU Today, the official podcast of Cameron University, hosted by President Dr. Shane Hunt. Each month, we bring you the Aggie Experience, featuring conversations with students, faculty, and staff about the exciting themes happening right here on campus. CU Today airs the last Monday night of every month at 6:30 on KCCU Public Radio. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or visit kccu.org for more information. Now, here's your host, Dr. Shane Hunt.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of CU Today. I'm Shane Hunt, president of Cameron University, and I am thrilled to welcome my guest today, Nate Mraz, superintendent of Elgin Public Schools and proud CU alum. Nate, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Dr. Hunt. I really appreciate it, and I'm just happy to be here.
Well, Nate and I have had the chance to visit several times since I've been at Cameron, and have just been so impressed with everything that he and his team are doing in Elgin, and wanted to have him on today. But Nate, we always like to start with our alumni guests by just start talking about, you know, where you're from,
okay,
and how you ended up as a Cameron University student, what you studied, and things like that.
Okay. Well, I grew up in Lawton. I grew up over there in the Eisenhower District, and my dad was a math professor here. My mom attended college here. She didn't get her degree, but she became a stay-at-home mom. Dad went here when it was Cameron Junior College, played football, and then made his way back after getting his degree from Southeastern, coached a little bit, and then came back here as the dean of male students in 1960.
Wow.
And didn't like that too much, you know, chasing guys around and keeping maybe knuckleheads out of trouble and dealing with some of those issues, and said, I really want to be a math professor, and had his master's in math, and ended up teaching here till he took retirement in 1987 or so. And then kept teaching night classes for 10, 15 years after that. So I have four older brothers, and all of which have a degree from Cameron, including myself.
Love that.
So five boys, and we all have 4-year degrees from Cameron.
That sounds like a pretty amazing family, Nate. Out to your mom and dad on that.
That's right.
That's an awesome
thing. They were great, and I'm sure they put up with a lot. So being a Cameron Aggie was just understood. We grew up coming to all the events, whatever was going on campus, we were here. And I would run around Birch Hall, and I'd poke my head in my dad's classes when I was younger. And James Eddie Phillips taught across, or was office, obviously, in the same office as my dad. And he'd do something silly like take his teeth out or something. And I mean that literally. If you knew James Eddie Phillips, his greatest guy, best wife, best daughter, just great people. It's just that family feel. And so it was just very natural to graduate high school in 91 from Eisenhower and come in the fall to Cameron University.
And what did you study when you were here, Nate?
I majored in history.
Okay.
And
we've had amazing history program.
Yeah.
We had Dr. Janda. If you go back in the archives, I've encouraged your listeners, who's done a lot of amazing things with our history program. Just such a great program.
Well, the old school, Dr. Blodgett, Dr. Stegmeyer, Dr. Charles Smith, some of those people. And, of course, shout out to Jennifer Johnson, who's then now Jennifer Dennis. She's a year older than me, and she was my buddy as far as being a history major. And so she also wanted to be an educator, and, of course, her folks. Just real natural to get through here and know everyone and have some familiarity with the people around. I walked on the baseball team my junior year, and Coach Eiler let me walk on, played the last 2 years, didn't get to play much, but as part of the team.
Love
that. CU Eddie, you know, he knows a little too much. He'd probably tell you my batting average, and I'd have to tell him to be quiet. He'd probably say it was .082, you know. It was great times here at Cameron.
I joke all the time. I tell our basketball coach, I said, listen, I said, if you need kind of an out-of-shape 6'2" center that doesn't really run up and down the floor very well anymore, I said, I stand ready. I don't know if I have eligibility, but I'm ready, Nate.
That's right. They need you on the rebounding drills.
Exactly,
a guy to shoot up there and miss.
I'm a good guy to have on the bench. I'll be positive. What a great experience. So you graduate Cameron, get a history degree.
Yep.
So talk about then, what is that journey from being a history major here at Cameron to being superintendent of, of, quite frankly, one of the fastest growing school systems in the state.
Yeah, well, thank you. So got my first job at Lawton High School. So I was an Eisenhower guy.
Yeah.
Got my first job at Lawton High School teaching history and coaching. I got the head baseball coaching job immediately out of college, which there's a reason why it was open. It turns as the old joke goes, may have set the state record for most losses in the first 8 years. But there's more to life than sports. That it teaches you something all the time.
All the time.
All the extracurriculars, all the tough times, and including the kids and the things we went through. You know, we need people in education to do things right, love kids by disciplining them and holding them accountable. And all these experiences that we thought were negative are just life experiences.
They are.
So go to Lawton High, teach and coach there. Great group there. A lot of Cameron graduates there. Mm-hmm. And then I go to Fresno for 2 years with my friend Adrian Wiggins and director of women's basketball operations out at Fresno State for 2 years. And then we move back here because my wife's from Cordell. And so we're both Oklahomans, obviously. And so we come back here, and a guy I taught with and coached with at Lawton High School, Curtis Laura, was the head football coach at Elgin. He said, come on out. And that's when I got into working on my administration.
Yeah.
And Mr. Crimmins was the superintendent. He's been the superintendent. He started there in 1988.
Okay.
I saw Lloyd Snow, coincidentally, who was preceded Mr. Crimmins. Mm-hmm. And so at the last school board conference we were just at. And so I told Mr. Snow, since 1984, Elgin has just had 3 superintendents.
That's amazing.
Lloyd Snow, Tom Crimmins, and now me. So some real good continuity there. And I think that matters. But got into administration there, did a couple of years at Fletcher as the elementary principal, mm-hmm. went to Cash as the high school principal. And then Mr. Crimmins hired me as the assistant superintendent. And then I got the superintendent's job. So I just completed my 10th year as the superintendent at Elgin Schools, and it's awesome.
Well, and it's amazing, Nate, and it's a testament to you and the teachers and your staff there, the incredible growth of Elgin Public Schools. Talk a little bit, but while that's an incredibly positive thing, I've got to believe that comes with challenges, just managing growth that probably 30 years ago people couldn't have imagined for the Elgin Public Schools.
I agree, and so it's worth noting that one of the big things that happened was BRAC, the base realignment and closure, and Fort Sill was a big winner in that. Several other forts had to downsize. They moved some things here, their defense artillery school. And so really, you know, all of a sudden here comes a lot of people. And of course, the key to this is that the Elgin community values teachers that will discipline their kids in the right way and teach them the things they need to be taught. And that sounds too simple, but it all starts there. So no matter who, what, when comes into Elgin School District, they have this expectation of, I'm going to be in a school district where they expect us to behave and do things right. And from there, we'll be able to teach you and get you going in the right direction. And that doesn't mean everyone's got kids that have some issues and all that, as do we. It's just that's just part of life. I think having the right attitude about those challenges is a key. And so, yeah, there's some definite challenges, but they're good problems to have. And it seems like the housing market, maybe the interest rate in the economy has kind of slowed things over the last year and a half or so on growth. Not as many new houses being moved into. And that's okay because we're having more of a moderate growth at this time. And so that's good. We offer every OSSA sport. We have a terrific band. We have great ag. Our FFA program's tremendous. Robotics, all the things, you know, that kids would want to be a part of. And we just kind of got it rolling out there.
Well, I've heard so many positive things from parents, from Cameron alums whose kids go to school there, just on the experience that you and your team are making possible for them. I wanted to ask this question because you talked about, and I think so many of our students, and I was this way. I didn't even know when I was, as a first-generation college student, I didn't really even understand fully what a college professor was or those responsibilities. Certainly not what a dean was or a president was. You talked about being a teacher, a coach, a principal, superintendent.
That's right. Yeah.
Is there anything about being a superintendent that has surprised you, or that, you know, just having those different roles, maybe how those perspectives have helped you be more successful in your current role?
I didn't know that they'd hand you a bottle of lisinopril as soon as you got the superintendent's job at however many milligrams. I thought, I don't need this, do I? And they said, yeah, that's part of the deal. They checked out my keys and blood pressure medicine. But anyway, no surprises. And I'll say, because Mr. Crimmins, those 3 years I was assistant soup, yeah, he just opened the office door to me and included me on everything. I'm so appreciative of that. So not many surprises, but just kind of maybe when you go home, you kind of reflect and go, yeah, that was a little bit crazy. And I can't believe, you know, that those things go on and all this. But it's, I mean, you're dealing with people's kids. And so it's their most prized possession. And so it's understandable. So I don't think many surprises. I just think that it's, the society's changed so much, technology, all these challenges that come with it. I think you just always have to be ready for the next challenge. I try and balance this out. I don't want to jump and latch onto every trend that comes about. Because then your teachers are up and down. And they're like, now we got to do this. Now we got to do this. We want them to close their door and go teach. It's the teaching is the best profession
in the world.
You're like an independent contractor.
Totally.
You know, the principal tells you what to do and you're obedient and you say, okay. And then you close your door and you go, it's my show and I hope I'm doing a good job for these kids and I'm teaching about history and all that. So that's why it's the best. And we let our teachers do that out there. You know, there's always things you got to correct people on and those kind of things. You got to run the place and someone's got to make decisions. And that's, I tell them, leave that up to me. But Elgin's just such a great place. It's got a down-home feel to it for a growing community.
Yeah.
Your mom. My wife is Debbie Lynn. She hit it off with Debbie Kay.
Yep. My mom's name's Debbie as well. Yep.
So they hit it off like that, talking, my name's this and that. Yep. And your mom's just so vibrant and just a joy to be around. So we're getting her. She comes out and fills out the application to sub. She's been subbing in Lawton.
Yeah.
And she texts my wife and says, hey, I got this text message. I just want to make sure. And what had happened is our middle school secretary had just texted her and said, can you be Mr. Moore tomorrow? And she was like, and I said, as a joke, everyone's got to understand this is a joke. I said, we're a little bit hick out there still, we're just kind of, there's probably no formal automated system calling her on this. It's like the lady just reached out to her. Uh-huh. I said, so yeah, I'll verify that is legit. Come out and sub with us sometime and, experience it. But it's kind of a good story about how Elgin's just kind of still.
No,
it's a small community. It's a bedroom community because there's not a whole lot of businesses there. It's mostly houses. And so people have just chosen to live out there. So.
And the personal touch, I think, Nate, is so, so impressive in what you're doing on that. And I think, too, when I hear, I've heard a number of people openly just talk about how positive your leadership is.
Well,
and I do think your experience as a teacher, as a coach, as a principal, having these different roles have prepared you to where you can, as superintendent, as the person in charge, put yourself in other people's shoes and say, I've stood there in that role and had that.
And I try not to use that against people.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, hey, trust me, I've been there and done this and kind of young kid roll their eyes, but I have. I have swept up the vomit. I've swept up, whatever. I have had to go up there. I have had to stay with a kid till 10:30 because their mom or dad was late picking them up after a game. I've had to run back up there and turn off the lights because maybe an assistant or a kid, whatever. You get to experience all that. And so you don't want to throw it in their face, but maybe use it as a bridge to say, it's okay.
And
I've been there, done that. It's okay.
And use it as a learning tool because
right.
you've been in their shoes. Nate, that's amazing. And I just want to finish with this question.
Okay.
A lot of students out there that are listening, current CU students, want to have a career and build a life the way that you have. What advice would you have for our current Cameron students?
I think it's the traditional things. They've got to not let the highs be too high and the lows be too low. Everything's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. There's going to be a next day. Your hard work and determination is the X factor. It doesn't matter what you want to do. Work hard at it. You'll get so much joy out of that, so much pride. Even when you fail. Even when you fail at things, it's just, I love... you're thinking to yourself, I love doing this because I've put my life into this and I've worked hard at it. So if they'll stay the course, hard work, dedication, Don't burn any bridges.
No. Nope.
Things can seem rough when you're young. You got wronged. You got whatever. Don't get into that. Stay the course. Treat people well. You'll see them again in life. They may give you a next opportunity. And so keep your head on straight, work hard, and just be proud to be a member of the Aggie Nation.
Well, and we are so proud, Nate, that you're a member of the Aggie Nation, and we're so thankful for your leadership in Southwest Oklahoma. And thank you for joining us today on this episode of the See You Today radio show.
Thank you for having me. You're doing a great job.
Thanks, Nate. Go Aggies.
All right, go Aggies.
I am thrilled to welcome our next guest on this episode of the See You Today radio show, my incredible friend and colleague and McMahon Endowed Chair in Music, Dr. Hinsoon Wong. Dr. Wong, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, this is an extra special episode. Dr. Wong is a remarkable professor and performer, and earlier in the month that we're recording this, my family and I had the chance to see one of our lecture and concert series. And Dr. Wong, I just have to say, not to be an overly a fan, it was truly one of the best concerts and performances I've ever seen in my life. So thank you for that.
Oh, that's so nice of you. And thanks for coming.
So, Dr. Wong, you are incredibly accomplished and renowned everywhere that you go. But talk a little bit about your background. How did you become a pianist and ultimately a professor?
Okay, so I started piano when I was four,
okay.
Although they weren't going to give me lessons until I was six. But my older sister, who was at six at the time, was taking piano mm-hmm. lessons. So I just couldn't wait. So after her piano lessons, I would go up to the piano and try to play what she just played.
Wow.
So that's how I began.
At four years old, wow.
I've always loved piano, so that's how I started. And becoming a professor, that's kind of a funny story because my dad was a college professor. He's a clinical pathologist.
Oh, wow.
Has a PhD in clinical pathology. And he probably was a better professor than a father. So, his students just absolutely adored him
wow.
and worshipped him. And, so I thought, well, I never want to be a professor. Because I'm a pianist, I'm just going to play the piano. But as you know, only maybe 1 or 2% of the pianists worldwide earn a living just playing concerts.
Yes.
So then, of course, I decided I need to go ahead and get my doctorate. And so then I got a professorship. And it was a really great thing because I didn't know until I started teaching how much I really love teaching.
It's the best job in the world, Dr. Wong.
Yes.
It is. I am similar to you, and I think I told the story on an earlier episode, but even when I started PhD school, it was not my intention to become a professor, and when you teach the students and you're around them and you get to be a part of a university community, it's the best job in the world.
It really is, yes.
So you came to Cameron. We were talking off air. You came to Cameron a few years ago.
Many years ago, yes.
And so you have had such a remarkable career, and I told this story also off air, but when it was first announced that we might be coming to Cameron, I had someone whose child had gone to Cameron who sent me a message who I'd gone to high school with just saying, you are so lucky to be at Cameron because they have the best music professor anywhere, and they were talking about Dr. Wong.
Oh,
tell some stories. From several decades of being a music professor here at Cameron, I have to imagine you've had some incredible students and experiences.
Yes. The best thing about teaching is, of course, your students.
Absolutely.
Not the faculty meetings, right?
No, never those. Never those.
So the students have been really amazing, and sometimes I'll go play out of town some concerts, mm-hmm. and then my former student will come backstage after the concert,
that.
And those are just such great moments. And the students always keep in touch with you, and so you feel like you have about, hundreds of children.
Absolutely.
And that's really also wonderful. And, one time I was playing in Florida, and this man came up to me after the concert and said, I'm from Fort Sill. And he read that I was a McMahon Endowed Chair,
mm-hmm.
and he
yep.
said, without McMahon Foundation, I would not have been going to school. And they actually gave me a scholarship when I was graduating from high school.
That's amazing.
And so he said, I'm so glad that they're funding you as well. And now he comes every time because I go there and play once a year.
I love that.
Yes. And yeah,
it is amazing. And it's amazing. And we certainly thank all of our friends at the McMahon Foundation because their support to provide scholarship opportunities for students, but also to make sure that we have world-class faculty members like yourself that can impact those students in a positive way. It's transformational for what we do at Cameron. At that concert we were at, I was fascinated. It was a colleague of yours who I believe played in the Cleveland.
He plays in the Cleveland Orchestra.
And it was so extraordinary. But that is something that I've seen going back and looking at things since I've been here. That network of musicians that you are connected to has allowed Cameron to have people perform here that are truly renowned all over the country and throughout the world. Can you talk about some of those folks that have
been
here?
Yes. Well, that's really because we have the lectures and concerts series,
yes,
which is an amazing thing. We can actually fund these people to come. They really come for nothing, mm-hmm, because they're my friends and they would love to come and play. And we've had some amazing people come and play. We've had David Kim, who is the concertmaster of the Philadelphia Orchestra, yeah, violinist, come.
Yes.
Dan from Cleveland Orchestra, and my friend Mike Mermegan, who is a professor at UMKC and teaches at Aspen, and also my sister, who is a fantastic cellist who plays with the Utah Symphony. And actually, my sister and I did a benefit concert for KCCU.
I love that. Well, yeah. It is amazing. This is your sister who you would follow on the piano. When she
that's
was
right.
six, yes. But then she's
that's a different sister.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say she went with the cello because I'm not the best in the family at the piano.
No, my older sister, she quit after 2 months and she said her arms hurt. Well, she's a medical doctor.
We are very thankful that she started so that you got involved in that.
Yeah.
What would you say, Dr. Wong, has been the best part about teaching students here at Cameron?
To see them grow, not just, you know, giving them knowledge, but by the time they graduate, it's such a difference from when they were freshmen, right?
Absolutely.
And I can just see how they mature and how they become a true good citizens of the society. And it's just really amazing to see their growth. But of course, you know, music-wise, too, because they can do things or they can understand things that they had no clue before. So,
isn't it amazing, too, for all of the things and all of the ways that students change, right, generationally,
yes,
with technology and different things? The thing that's never changed in the two decades that I've been a professor is the joy in seeing that growth.
Yes.
In seeing them mature as professionals, as citizens, as human beings.
Yes.
That still is, it's a wonder to see it in
definitely
real time.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
So we love to think about that and what that is. You said something to me as well. And so talk a little bit about some of the things that you're doing from a performance standpoint. So we will be having a concert. Dr. Wong will be having a concert that my whole family will be here. Our son will be here for it as well. And my wife and I and my mom. But on October the 12th. Which is a Sunday, and that will be in our theater that afternoon.
I think that's in the recital hall.
Oh, it's in the recital hall. Yeah. That's what I meant, the recital hall.
They wouldn't give me the theater.
But come to the recital hall, and it's going to be an amazing concert. But talk a little bit about both as a professor, but you're also a performer, and if you could share a little bit of a personal goal that you are working your way through that I think is just extraordinary.
Well, about 4 or 5 years ago, I decided that I should go ahead and learn all of Beethoven's 32 sonatas.
That's incredible.
Piano sonatas. So I studied that, and then it was interrupted by the pandemic. But then after the pandemic was over, I got back into it. So I've been playing 2 or 3 sonatas every semester. I also do it in Altus, Oklahoma.
Yes.
They have this really cute museum. Yeah, and then I do it here, so I get to have 2 tries.
Mm-hmm. You know?
So I'm down to the last 3.
That's amazing.
So yeah, this October I'm playing the Hammerklavier, which is probably the most difficult piece ever written. So I'm trying.
Yes.
And then I will end with the very last sonata and then one of the early ones that I haven't played yet next spring. Oh. So that is, yeah, it's been a goal, and, you know, I've done some very well, some not so well, and, you know, but just it's so gratifying to know his music so well. I feel like I'm in Beethoven's, inside his head.
That's amazing. Well, I will tell you, it was, I think the event that we were at for the performance earlier this month, to me, that represents what it should be to be a part of a university community. To have that remarkable performance with two Cameron professors and one visiting colleague, but it just to bring the arts, to bring that type of opportunity for our students and our community. That event is not here if there's not a Cameron University.
That's
and I
true.
Just thought it was a really, it was an inspiring evening to me and to my family.
Yeah, well, Cameron is such an integral part of the community. And I saw you yesterday at the history department when
yes.
they did the Constitution Day.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was just so wonderful. I learned a
yes.
lot, and I try to take advantage of all the things that are going on. And I know you go to everything, and that is such a great thing
well,
as a president.
It's an honor for us, and I think about in just the, you know, in the past week, getting to go to your concert, getting to go to Constitution Day and our events surrounding that, getting to go watch our girls play volleyball at CU. The things that happen on a college campus and getting to be a part of it is something I'm thankful and blessed for every day to get to do it.
Yeah, same here.
It's the best job in the world. Let me ask this question, Dr. Wong, as we kind of wrap up. There's going to be students listening to this. Some of those students may be thinking about going to college, not going to college. Some of those students may be thinking about pursuing a career in music or in music education. What advice would you have to those students?
I would say you have to follow your passion. No matter what it is, if you're good at it and you work at it and you're talented and you have the passion, there will be a place for you.
Absolutely. And I think there's something, Dr. Wong, don't you think too? I think that desire and that drive, regardless of what someone's passionate about, that desire to be extraordinary at it.
Yes.
And I think that is something that is so transformational with that. And, you know, I tell people all the time, I said, if I had 1,000 lives, I'd be a marketing professor 1,000 times over. And I'm guessing that you feel the same way.
Definitely.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, it is amazing, Dr. Wong, everything that you do for Cameron University. What things do you have ahead? What things are you looking forward to in the spring? Obviously, we have the concert. We have the concert coming up in a couple weeks.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to working with our students. Mm-hmm. We put on this concert with the pianists and the singers, mostly singers. And it's a chamber music, and we call it a soiree. And
okay.
then each year we concentrate on a different composer.
Okay.
So it
oh,
would
wow.
be
in each year you do a different composer.
Right.
On that. Okay.
And the students just really love it. It's an in-depth study of that composer, and they get to sing or play or listen to that composer. So we've done Brahms, Schubert, Mozart, and so I will. Yeah, I'm just really excited about that. That's one of my big projects.
Well, and what an amazing immersive experience for the student to really get immersed in that
yes.
and to be a part of that. That's incredible.
Yes.
Well, Dr. Wong, October the 12th, 3 p.m.?
Yes.
3 p.m. on October the 12th, come out and watch the concert. I will see you there. I'll be wearing a tasteful Cameron University polo. And but it will truly be one of the most extraordinary performances that you see. From the bottom of my heart, Dr. Wong, as a professor, as a colleague, as a parent whose my own kids have been incredibly benefited by what the arts make possible. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Wong, and thank you all for listening on this episode of the CU Today radio show. We are so excited about the great start to the semester we've had, and we can't wait to visit again next month. Until that time, this is Shane Hunt, President of Cameron University, saying thank you for listening, and go Aggies.